Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-yay. My, oh my, what a wonderful day.
If you've ever had a catchy tune bouncing around in your mind that you simply could not shut off, you know what it's like to be infected by a meme. Other examples of memes include slogans, fads and fashions, political movements, even religions. In fact, when the British biologist Richard Dawkins coined the term meme in 1985, he meant it to include shared ideas of any kind. Since then, the meme about memes has spread. Aaron Lynch, the author of Thought Contagion, explains what he means by the word.
I use the term meme to indicate a self-propagating idea or a self-spreading idea, which means some idea that influences a person's behavior so as to cause more copies of it to exist in new people. It has reproducing qualities. For example, some ideas cause their adherents to have more children. Some ideas cause their adherents to more effectively inculcate their children. Some ideas cause people to go forth and spread the word.
And many ideas help their hosts to survive and reproduce, says Keith Henson, the biologist who helped popularize memetics. That's the science of memes.
The majority of memes, the vast majority of memes, are things like how to make pots and how to chip rock or how to nail boards together to make houses and such things. All useful, and they make total sense in terms of the genetic survival of the human being that's involved, and from the standpoint that a house and shoes and other sorts of things are downright handy when you are dealing with the mundane sorts of problems of raising children.
In this view, what we call culture is the sum total of all memes in a given population. This model has proved useful to University of Cambridge anthropologist Robert Angers, who has studied the taboos of Central African pygmies.
The very kinds of questions I was asking were brought up to me by taking this kind of perspective. I can't eat elephant when I'm pregnant because my child will be born with a very long nose, okay? This is a particular kind of belief that they might have.
I confess that as an urban American reporter, I simply don't believe that idea to be true. But if ideas truly are infectious, why don't I believe the meme that eating elephant produces long-nosed offspring? Mr. Angers says that is because my culture has inculcated me with a competing belief that what I eat and the length of my child's nose are unrelated.
And it would be that belief which would filter or censor your ability to take on this other belief about the edibility of elephant meat.
Mr. Angers says that one's own pattern of memes builds up and changes over time.
As you get older, you acquire more and more memes or different kinds of beliefs, and the ones that you already have can have some influence on the ones that you're likely to acquire.
Memes can actually help one to survive the effects of other memes. This is analogous to how medical vaccines help prevent disease. When I'm injected with a smallpox vaccine, for example, my doctor actually exposes me to a tiny amount of the smallpox virus, which stimulates my body's immune system and prepares it for larger, potentially fatal doses from infected people. Similarly, some memeticists believe that exposure to certain kinds of ideas can actually help prevent infection from other similar ideas that can endanger my survival. Keith Henson, for instance, has observed that people raised within strong religious traditions often seem inoculated against other potentially dangerous ideas, such as those found in some cults.
Like, for example, the Heaven's Gate cult, which are very definitely anti-survival and certainly anti-reproductive survival. It killed them. But that's the level of danger that's involved with replicating information patterns.
So there's a competition then between ideas and one's genes. Is that what you're telling me?
Absolutely. When you start talking about memes, it's not a matter of analogy that's involved here. A meme really is a replicating information pattern, and they wind up sucking out human energy in large amounts, replicating and going out through human populations. whether it's alive or not is, you know, it gets down to the argument about viruses. Are viruses alive or not? Well, what's important is that when you sneeze on somebody, if you've got a cold, and they wind up, this stuff goes up their nose and replicates, it darn sure replicates. Whether the stuff is alive or not doesn't really make any difference. You're just as miserable whether it's alive or not. Similarly with memes. Memes are real information because they replicate. For example, at this point, the meme about memes is being spread out to yet more people who are listening to a radio program about it.
The meme about memes has inspired some truly wide-ranging research, including in the fields of computer science, social psychology, molecular biology, and now, radio reporting. This is Adam Phillips.
Mr. Blue lives on my shoulder. It is the truth, it's actual. Everything is satisfactory. Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-ay. Wonderful feeling, wonderful.